This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. So we reached a point where Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib رضي الله عنه became a Muslim. And this happened in a dramatic way in front of Quraysh. We said when Abu Jahl had insulted the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza or Abu Umara came to know about this, and he went and he taught Abu Jahl a lesson, and he announced his Islam. It was in front of everyone else. Now obviously the people of Quraysh, seeing, because up until this point in time, the followers of the Prophet ﷺ were the weaker ones. Were slaves, people in Mecca who had no real support. So this was something known about the followers of the Prophet ﷺ. That, and these are the followers of the Prophets. Usually they are the weaker ones and the slaves. But now this actually makes a shift in the balance of power when Hamza becomes a Muslim. So Quraysh were not ready for this. When they saw this, one of them, Abu al-Walid, and that's Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, one of the main leaders, one of the rich people in Mecca, the main political leaders, he says to the people of Quraysh, you know, you've tried so many things with Muhammad, and you can see that Hamza has sided with him. So why don't you let me, you know, take my chances and let me speak with Muhammad. I'm going to offer him something. So I will read the narration because his words are very important and I will translate them. فَقَالَ يَوْمًا. And this is Utbah ibn Rabi'ah says, وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ فِي نَادِي قُرَيْشٍ. When he was sitting with the elite of Quraysh. وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَحْدَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ was alone in the masjid, close to Al-Ka'bah. يا معشر قريش ألا أقوم إلى محمد فأكلمه وأعرض عليه أمورا لعله يقبل بها. He says, oh people of Quraysh, shall I not approach Muhammad? He's by himself now. Shall I not approach him and offer him some things, make some offers? Maybe he would accept some of them. Let's try a different approach with him. فنعطيه أيها شاء ويكف عنا. So we give him whatever he wants, whatever he accepts from these offers. And thus, we put an end to his story. وَذَلِكَ حِينَ أَسْلَمَ حَمْزَةً. And that happened when Hamza became a Muslim. وَرَأَوْا أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَزِيدُونَ وَيَكْثُرُونَ. And they saw that the companions of the Prophet were growing in number. So they said, قَالُوا بَلَى يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ قُمْ إِلَيْهِ فَكَلِّمْهُ. They said, Abu al-Walid, that's the kunya of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Abu al-Walid. They said, okay, Abu al-Walid, go and speak with him, no problem. We give you the consent that go ahead and speak with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فقام إليه عتبة حين جلس إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال. So عتبة went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he sat next to him, and he said, يبنى أخي, O my nephew. In Arabic, this is similar to my son. It's a word to show connection. I'm treating you like my son. Says يبنى أخي, إنك منا حيث قد علمت. من السطة في العشيرة والمكان في النسب. Oh my son, you know your position among us. You come from the best of families within Quraysh, and you have a noble lineage. وإنك قد أتيت قومك بأمر عظيم. And you have brought a great affair to your people. This is a great affair that you brought to your people. فرقت به جماعتهم. You have split their unity, you've destroyed their unity, you've divided them. وَسَفَّهْتَ بِهِ أَحْلَامَهُمْ. And you spoke bad and you ridiculed their minds and their intellect. Because he said you worship stones. وَعِبْتَ بِهِ آلِهَتَهُمْ وَدِينَهُمْ. And you put down their gods and their religion. وَكَفَّرْتَ بِهِ مَنْ مَضَى مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ. And you declared that their forefathers were upon kufr, upon falsehood and upon blasphemy. فاسمع مني أعرض عليك أمورا تنظر فيها. Listen to me. I will offer you some things. You contemplate them. Think about them. Consider them seriously. لعلك تقبل منها بعضها. Hopefully you'll accept some of them. فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل يا أبا الوليد أسمع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, with all respect and all decency, he says يا أبا الوليد. He calls him with his kunya, with his kunya, and this is a sign of respect. Speak and I will listen to you. No arguments. And if you pay attention carefully to these words, he said, you have divided our tribe. You have brought a great and enormous affair. You have disgraced. So these are big accusations. These are big accusations. Yet the Prophet ﷺ did not try to clear himself in a childish manner. No, I didn't do this. That's what you guys accuse me of. No, he didn't say that. He said, okay, speak, Ya Abu Walid. I'm all ears. That's what he said. I'm listening. Go ahead, speak. So he said, يَبْنَ أَخِي, O my son, إِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ مِنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مَالًا جَمَعْنَا لَكَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا حَتَّى تَكُونَ أَكْثَرَنَا مَالًا. If what you want from all of this is wealth and money, we will collect money from every one of us and we will give you this money so you become the richest among us. You will become the richest among us. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ شَرَفًا سَوَّدْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا حَتَّى لَا نَقْطَعَ أَمْرًا دُونَكَ. And if you want status, we will make you a leader among us. And we will not pass any decision without consulting with you. We'll take your opinion. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ مُلْكًا مَلَّكْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا. If you want to be a king, we will make you the king upon us. You will be our king. Like, Quraysh is not a kingship, but if you want that, we will make it happen. We will make you the king upon us. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الَّذِي يَأْتِيكَ رِئِيًا لَا تَسْتَطِيعُ رَدَّهُ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ طَلَبْنَا لَكَ الطِّبِّ وَبَذَلْنَا فِيهِ أَمْوَالَنَا حَتَّى نُبْرِئَكَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ رُبَّمَا غَلَبَ التَّابِعُ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ حَتَّى يُدَاوَى مِنْهُ. He said, but if what you have is some kind of possession, you are possessed by a spirit, by a jinn, okay, and you are unable to push it back, we will seek medicine and healing for you. And we would spend our wealth to get you someone to heal you and to help you recover from this situation. Because sometimes people get engaged with jinn, and then the jinn takes over. So probably, maybe this is your case. So these are the things he offered. So حتى إذا فرغ عتبة, when عتبة finished everything, all his offers, ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يستمع منه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is listening carefully, no interruption. قال لقد فرغت يا أبا الوليد. He said, أبا الوليد, is that everything? You said everything you wanted to say? He says, yes, that's all. نعم. قال فاسمع مني. He said, okay, now listen to me. قال عتبة أفعل, I will do. Give me what you have. Bring it. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فاستقيموا إليه واستغفروه وويل للمشركين الذين لا يؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون قل أئنكم لتكفرون بالذي خلق الأرض في يومين وتجعلون له أندادا ذلك رب العالمين وجعل فيها رواسي من فوقها وبارك فيها وقدر فيها أقواتها في أربعة أيام سواء للسائلين ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين فقضاهن سبع سماوات في يومين وأوحى في كل سماء أمرها وزينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وحفظا ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم فإن أعرضوا فقل أنذرتكم صاعقة مثل صاعقة عاد وثمود.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم started reciting Surah Fussilat. That's all he had to say. He started reciting Surah Fussilat. Almost 2.5 pages. The words are very powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Hamim. These are letters from the Quran. A revelation from the Most Merciful. A book whose verses have been designed and have been clarified in clear Arabic language to people who are able to comprehend and know. It has glad tidings and it has warnings. Most of them turned away from it and they do not listen. And they said, our hearts are in shields, they are protected from that. And our ears are blocked, we cannot understand. There is a screen between us and you. So do whatever you want, we will do whatever we are upon. Tell them I'm only a human being just like you, that I received revelation that your God and your Lord is only one. So worship Him alone and take a straight path towards Him and seek His forgiveness. And woe to those who associate partners with the Creator, those who do not purify themselves and they disbelieve in the last day. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will have a reward without measure. And then tell them, say to them, are you disbelieving in the one who created the earth in 2 days? And you associate partners with him. That is the Lord of all the universe. And he established mountains upon it to keep it stable. And Allah blessed it. And he has written all its measures till the day of judgment in 4 days, regardless of the people who ask and whatever questions they have. Then he headed to the heavens when it was just smoke. And he commanded the heavens and the earth, come near, and they came near to Allah willfully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided them 7 heavens in 2 days, and He prescribed for every heaven everything that was going to happen in it, obviously till the day of judgment. And we have beautified the lowest heaven with torches, and these are the stars and the planets, and with protection. This is the creation of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. If they turn from you, then tell them, I have warned you against a severe punishment, just like that has befallen Ad and Thamud. Then Allah talks about Ad and Thamud and the previous nations and what will happen to them on the Day of Judgment. Allah describes in detail all of this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a comparison. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who say our Lord is Allah and they remain steadfast upon the truth, at the moment of death the angels will come down upon them with all peace and they will tell them, there is nothing to fear, no fear on you, nor shall you grieve. Don't worry about what you leave behind. We are your helpers. We will be with you. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. We will be with you. We are with you. We used to be with you in that world. We will be with you in this transition until the end. And وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. And we came to you to give you the glad tidings at that difficult moment of death. We came to give you the news of paradise that you were promised. You have made it. You have made it to paradise. And then it says, this is a gift from your Lord, a dwelling place for you from your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the verses go on and go on and on. Then they talk about the sun and the moon and the whole beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنِ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فَالَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ يُسَبِّحُونَ لَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْأَمُونَ. And if these people are so arrogant to accept the truth, then the ones who are with your Lord, these are the angels, they glorify Allah day and night, and they never feel bored. They never feel tired of that. Then the Prophet ﷺ finished the whole surah. And the narration goes that Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he was sitting and he was leaning back on his hands. Like sometimes when you sit on the floor, you put your hands behind, right? You lean on your hands, on both your arms. That's where he was listening, and he was baffled. These are people who spoke the best form of Arabic language. When they heard these powerful, profound words, he was mesmerized. He was taken by the beauty of the Quran. Then the Prophet ﷺ, obviously in Surah Fussilat, there's a sajda. The Prophet ﷺ reaches the sajda, then the Prophet ﷺ makes prostration. Then he turns to Abu al-Walid, then he says, قَدْ سَمِعْتَ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدْ مَا سَمِعْتْ فَأَنْتَ وَذَاكِ. Then he turns to Utbah, and he says to him, يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدْ, this is what I have to say, and you have heard it. Do whatever you want. That's my response. Silence. Utbah leaves, he stands up, he goes back to his crew, to that group, because they're observing. They're observing the whole scene from a distance. They want to see what he comes up with. Maybe he will manage to make Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam make a compromise. Maybe he will accept. Maybe Muhammad was after this dunya, after this life. Maybe he wanted wealth, status, whatever. So when he came to them, as he was approaching them, one of them says, فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ نَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ أَبُو الْوَلِيدِ بِغَيْرِ الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي ذَهَبُ. They looked at him, some of them said, وَاللَّهِ, his face, this is not the face that he went with. He's coming back with a different face. There's something different. فَلَمَّا جَلَسَ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالُوا مَا وَرَأَكَ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ. He came and he sat with them. They said, and he didn't say anything. So they're waiting patiently. So they said, you know, what happened? Tell us something. So he says to them, قَالَ وَرَأِي أَنِّي سَمِعْتُ قَوْلًا وَاللَّهِ مَا سَمِعْتُ مِثْلَهُ قَطٌّ. He said, what I have to say? That I heard some words, I never heard anything like them before. Then he says, وَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ بِالشِّعْرِ. This is not poetry. And because they used to accuse the Prophet ﷺ of being a poet or coming up with poetry. وَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ بِالشِّعْرِ. It's not poetry. Wallah, it's not poetry. وَلَا بِالسِّحْرِ. And it's not magic. وَلَا بِالْكَهَانَ. This is not sorcery. فَوَاللَّهِ لَيَكُونَنَّ لِقَوْلِهِ الَّذِي سَمِعْتُ مِنْهُ نَبَأٌ عَظِيمٌ. He says, وَاللَّهِ, these words that I heard from him shall have a great affair and great power. فَإِنْ تُصِبْهُ الْعَرَبُ فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمُوهُ بِغَيْرِكُمْ. So if the Arabs take Muhammad out, they kill him, then they have, you know, saved you the effort of dealing with him. وَإِنْ يَظْهَرْ عَلَى الْعَرَبِ فَمُلْكُهُ مُلْكُكُمْ. But if he dominates over the Arabs, then his power is your power. Automatically, you are his people. So simply he's suggesting, but indirectly he's implying, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Don't resist him. Don't fight him. If the Arabs kill him, they do the dirty business for you. You don't have to kill one of you. And if he dominates over them, then this is a privilege that you automatically are going to get. So that you have nothing to lose. فَمُلْكُهُ مُلْكُكُمْ. His power is your power. عِزُّهُ عِزُّكُمْ. Whatever dominion he has, it's yours as well. وَكُنْتُمْ أَسْعَدَ النَّاسِ بِهِ. And then you would be the happiest people. Because he's one of you. And he's the king of the Arabs. What did they respond? قَالُوا سَحَرَكَ وَاللَّهِ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ بِلِسَانِهِ. They said, wallahi, his magic spell had its impact on you through his words. He messed up your mind. So what did he say? He says, هَذَا رَأْيِي فَاصْنَعُوا مَا بَدَى لَكُمْ. He says, this is my opinion, you guys do whatever you want. That's my assessment. So these words shook him from deep inside. He realized, this is not poetry, this is not sorcery, this is not witchcraft, this is not magic, this is none of that nonsense. And he said, there is so much power in these words, and they have potential. Yet, he did not believe. He did not believe, and that's the arrogance. And that's the arrogance and the pride of kufr. And this is the concern of what? This is the fear of going against his people. And that's exactly what holds the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ himself from becoming a Muslim, although he knows it's the truth. Now the Prophet ﷺ obviously makes it clear there's no compromise. It's not money that I am after. It's not status that I'm after. I don't want your kingship. I don't want your support. I don't want your help. I have a mission. I have a message, and I'm conveying it. It's not about, you know, the rules of the game to me are different. You guys think it's all about this dunya. That's your mindset. That's your frame of reference. But for me, This is not how it works. For me, I'm coming from a completely different place. So this is why the best response was from the Quran. And this is something we actually need to learn from. First of all, look at how the Prophet ﷺ, he did not have an argument with Utbah. He didn't have an argument with him. There was no argument. The Prophet, he came and he offered the Prophet ﷺ something, although what he offered didn't make any sense to the Prophet ﷺ. It was not on his agenda. Yet, and it was tacitly, it was an insult. That what you want is something from this life, something from this world. Yeah, you're trying to get it through, a dubious way. You're coming with a message and you want to change everything. Okay, let's cut it short. Take a shortcut. Tell us what you want. Tell it straight. Okay, and we'll give you what you want. You don't have to play these games. So there's an insult there. Yet the Prophet ﷺ did not take any offense. The Prophet ﷺ knows his stance, and he knows that these people are coming from their own mindset. So he gives him the benefit of the doubt and he lets him speak till the end. And when he finishes, the Prophet says, is that everything? Anything? Do you have anything else to say? So he was willing to listen to more than that. And when the Prophet responds, he takes the conversation to a completely different level. You guys are talking about money, wealth, you're talking about sickness, disease and jinn. Okay, that's where your minds have led you. But listen to what I have to say. It's about the reality of this life. It's about the creator of this world. It's about what happens after death. It's far greater. What I'm talking about is far greater than what you guys are thinking about. And this left, Utbah in a state of bafflement. And the second lesson that we really should learn here is that the Quran has the answers. The Quran has the answers. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ trying to explain to him, I didn't come for money. Because that's not what I want. And it's not really, I don't want to be a leader or something like that. He didn't have to justify himself. He didn't have to clear himself. And that's usually happens when we are very apologetic. When someone is, when you swallow whatever accusations are leveled at you, you already swallow them and you have self-doubt, you're apologetic. Because it hits home. And you try to clear yourself. But when all of these accusations, are just in the air, they don't get to you, you're speaking from a completely different place. It's a completely different place and it's very powerful. And this is why we said Utbah ibn Rabi'ah was completely shocked with that kind of response. He didn't expect that. He expected negotiation from the Prophet ﷺ. Maybe he thought the Prophet ﷺ would ask for more. But the Prophet ﷺ completely changed the rules of the game there. So the Prophet ﷺ, and some Muslim scholars said the Prophet ﷺ could have accepted leadership. He could have said, okay, I want to become a leader. And they would have given him leadership. And then he would say, okay, I'm your leader, you follow me. Let's follow Islam. But that's not the right way to do it because that's treachery. You have to be straightforward. You have to be clear about your message. You can't seek means round your message. Be clear about everything. You cannot exploit people. You cannot manipulate people. Because that goes counter to the essence of your message. And it's about truthfulness. So the Prophet ﷺ is making it clear. There's no compromise. There's no negotiation. I'm not here to, buy time or to make any profit from this. My message is clear. I say it in private and in public. It's the same thing. Nothing changes. And the Prophet ﷺ, still obviously you can imagine what's been happening at this time. So after Hamza has become a Muslim, they tried this kind of negotiation with the Prophet ﷺ. Obviously it seems it hasn't worked out to them. So what would they do? Probably, I would guess, they would inflict more pain and more insults on the Prophet ﷺ. Yet the Prophet ﷺ never gives up. He never gives in. He's always giving his da'wah. He's always facing these people, as some of the narrations go, with a smile. He would approach these people every now and then in a smile. He would, just come by them, just come across one of them in the street, like Abu Jahl. And despite their enmity, the Prophet ﷺ would still smile in them and offer them the da'wah afresh. So the Prophet ﷺ never, well, most likely he didn't take that personally. He would still give the da'wah and offer whatever he had to the people of Quraysh. It seems during this time as well, some of the narrations go, the Prophet ﷺ was with some of his companions, And there is a person called Yazid ibn Rukana. He's not from Quraysh, he's from outside, he's from the Arabian Peninsula. Yazid ibn Rukana is known to be the best grappler at the time. He's a grappler, he's probably like a wrestler or a judo or jiu-jitsu guy. And he had a clear record. He's never been put to the ground by anyone. He's never been defeated, no defeat on his record whatsoever. He's known to be a very strong guy. So he came to Mecca and he had 300 sheep with him. And he hears about the Prophet ﷺ, so he approaches the Messenger ﷺ. And I personally wondered, why would he approach the Prophet ﷺ and say, would you wrestle with me? He asked the Prophet ﷺ to have a wrestling match with him. I'm assuming since he was a non-Muslim and he was told about the Prophet ﷺ, all the nonsense that the Quraysh made up, probably he wanted to maybe ridicule the Prophet ﷺ or increase his wounds, maybe. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, why don't you wrestle with me? The Prophet ﷺ took that lightly. He said, what would you give me if I win? So he turns to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, I have 300 sheep, I'll give you 100 of them. Prophet ﷺ says, deal, just go ahead. They start wrestling, the Prophet ﷺ puts him down, puts him to the ground. And the guy is shocked. First time in his life he's ever been defeated in a grappling match. So he's still in disbelief. And he says, okay, you know, fight with me. He gives him 100. And he says, okay, let's fight again. He thought maybe something happened. Maybe I just, for some time, I just lost my focus. He wrestles with him. Second time, the Prophet ﷺ puts his back to the ground. He's still in disbelief. He stands up again. He gives the Prophet ﷺ the second 100. Because that's still the deal. And he says, wrestle with me for the third time. So he wrestles with the Prophet ﷺ for the third time, and the Prophet ﷺ puts him again to the ground. And then he turns to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Ya Muhammad, مَا وَضَعَ جَنْبِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٌ قَبْلَكَ. No one put my back on the ground before you. No one else. You're the first one ever. وَمَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَبْغَضَ إِلَيَّ مِنْكَ وَمَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَبْغَضَ إِلَيَّ مِنْكَ. And there was no one that I had hatred to more than you. So this is why I'm assuming he came to the Prophet ﷺ with contempt. He said, okay, since you claim Prophet, I'm gonna even like beat you down. Then he says, وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And now I testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that you are the messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave him back his sheep, his 300 sheep. So that shows the Prophet ﷺ still was open to people who approached him in different ways. Another, I would say, point of benefit here is that the Prophet ﷺ spoke to everyone with the language they understood. The language that this man understood was the language of muscles, of strength. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided the Prophet ﷺ and helped him. So he spoke that language with that person. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that shows that the styles of da'wah that we have, as long as they are within the halal means, we are supposed to use them. Someone speaks the language of science, there's no harm using science as we converse with them about Islam. That resonates with them. Someone is so much into, let's say, sports. There's nothing wrong with bringing sports into the equation as we speak about Islam. Something is so much into, social issues. There's nothing wrong bringing social issues into the conversation we have about Islam. Especially that Islam has something to offer there, something substantial to offer there. Some people are very rigid in their approach. They say, that's the only way you talk about Islam. 1, 2, 3, that's it. And because they know a couple of a hadith, they think that's all. They think that's all. But looking at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, looking at the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, you can see that they use so many different ways. So many different ways. As long as they are within the halal means, as long as they are true, you can still use them. Because this is how humans think, this is how they function. When someone shares the same interests with you, automatically you sympathize. Or you empathize with that person. You identify with that person. And you're more likely to accept
not necessarily accept, but take whatever they say with an open mind rather than with resistance. So that's a very important lesson that we learn from this. Someone else might say, why waste your time with all these things, right? Why would Muhammad ﷺ wrestle with someone? And he's busy with da'wah, you know, why waste time with all of this? Why not? Why not? We're human beings. Islam doesn't say you turn into a robot and you detach from life. Islam didn't come to take us away from life. Some people are under this assumption that Islam is to take you away. Islam came to take you away from life. You cannot be a normal human being if you want to be a practicing Muslim. On the contrary, Islam says be a full human being, and that's what Islam is about. But it shows you the way, and it shows you the parameters that will protect you, that will form a shield for you so you never lose your way as you improvise and you come up with things. Islam creates a system for that. And this system is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows how things will unfold. So that's a beautiful lesson from the wrestler. Some narrations indicate his name was Yazid ibn Rukana. Some narrations indicate that his name was Rukana. But does it make a difference? It doesn't make a difference. Obviously, Rukana is either his name, first name, or last name. Things, I think we talked about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Did we mention him last week? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? We mentioned Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We said, yes, he was a shepherd, a young shepherd, and the Prophet ﷺ admired his honesty and his trustworthiness. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he asked the Prophet ﷺ about the words of the Quran, he said, I want to learn from these. The Prophet ﷺ told him, إِنَّكَ فَتَن أو إِنَّكَ غُلَامٌ مُعَلَّمٌ. You are a young man who has a head for knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ recognized that. And obviously, that was clear that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the narrations of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, there is no verse in the Quran except that I know when it was revealed, where it was revealed, and why it was revealed. He said, there's no verse in the Quran except that I know when, where, and why it was revealed. So that's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. After Hamza became Muslim, and around that time, people of Quraysh are getting a second big shock. It's actually a bombshell for the people of Quraysh. Something they never expected. And who is this? Umar ibn al-Khattab becomes Muslim. Now, what's the story of Umar al-Khattab becoming a Muslim? This is an issue, okay? There's a couple of stories. The most famous story is that Umar al-Khattab one day, he just got fed up. He had enough from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I'm going to put an end to the whole story of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to go and finish him off. I'll just kill him, regardless. Whatever the repercussions or consequences are, I'll just go ahead and do that. So he takes his sword and his eyes are like sparking, and he's on his way to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the Muslims, secret Muslims, sees him and he says, oh, where are you going, Umar al-Khattab? Like, it looks like there's so much evil in your eyes. He says, I'm going to kill this man, Muhammad, who's brought so much trouble to us. So the man says, this Muslim really feared for the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, and he thought this might be a real danger. So he said, why would you go to Muhammad when your own family has become Muslim? You know, fix your own home first, instead of going to Muhammad. He said, what's that? He said, your sister, Fatima, she's Muslim. Why did this Muslim do the sacrifice? If the story is true, okay, why did he do the sacrifice? He was trying to protect the Prophet ﷺ, and that's the best plan that he came up with. Just go to your sister. So, Umar al-Khattab obviously loses his mind. He goes to his sister's house. Who's the husband of his sister, Fatima? Sa'id ibn Zayd, remember? Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the Ashra al-Mubashirin bil Jannah, one of the 10 promised paradise. Who's his father? Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. Remember the guy who was in Quraysh, who did not worship idols, and he was searching for the truth? Okay, that's his father. Now, Sa'id is his son. He was married to Fatima, the sister of Umar ibn Khattab. So he goes to their house, and he obviously knocks on the door. There was a companion there teaching them Quran, and they were reading Surah Taha. So when they heard the sound of Umar al-Khattab,
The other companion was hiding behind something, behind a curtain probably or something. And Fatima opens the door for her brother and he says, what was it you guys were reciting that I just heard? She said, there was nothing. He said, no, I just heard that. She said, no, it was nothing. So he slaps her across the face and she starts bleeding and she falls. And then she says, yes, I am a Muslim and I believe La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. You do whatever you want to do. We're not going to leave this faith. And upon seeing this, he becomes emotional. He sympathizes with her. So he says, I just want to read that. I just want to know what you guys were reading. Where is that piece that you were reading? So she says to him, you're impure. You go and take a bath. You're a mushrik, take a bath. Then I will give it to you, you can read it. When he read it, it was Surah Taha, and he got touched by it. And straight away he goes to the Prophet ﷺ, and he knocks on the door. Once he enters, the Prophet ﷺ approaches him, and he holds him from his collars. Oh, jazakallah khair. From the collar, like this. And he says, أَمَا أَنَا لَكَ يَا ابْنَ الْخَطَّابِ أَن تُسْلِمْ. Isn't it time for you, Ibn al-Khattab, Umar, to become a Muslim? Isn't it time for you? Because the Prophet ﷺ previously made dua. And he said, Allahumma ansur al-Islam bi-ahabbi hadhain al-rajulayn ilayk. Oh Allah, give victory to Islam by means of the dearest person of these two to you. Amr ibn Hisham, who's Abu Jahl, or Umar ibn al-Khattab. So the Prophet ﷺ was hoping that one of them would become a Muslim. And Umar al-Khattab, by the way, his physical description, Umar al-Khattab was such a tall person. The narration goes that Umar al-Khattab, when he walked among a group, it seemed as though he was riding a horse among people who were walking. Does that give you an idea how tall he was? Extremely tall. Extremely tall. If he was among a group, it seemed as though he was riding a horse and they were walking. This is how tall he was. And then upon this, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Okay, this story is there. It's a historical narration. It doesn't stand the criticism of hadith. But we say in the seerah, we would accept such a story. Yet, in Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a narration from Sa'id ibn Zayd, his brother-in-law, the man who's married to Fatima, the sister of Umar al-Khattab. He says, in Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي وَعُمَرُ مُوثِقِي عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ أَنَا وَأُخْتِ أَنَا وَأُخْتِ أَنَا مُوثِقِي أَنَا وَأُخْتِهِ عَلَى قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسْلِمْ أَنَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسْلِمْ. I remember Umar al-Khattab tying us up, chaining us up, me and his sister, because we were Muslim and that was before him becoming a Muslim. So that shows that Umar al-Khattab already knew that his sister and his brother-in-law were Muslim. So this is why some of the scholars said, this story is there, but there is something authentic in Sahih al-Bukhari that shows there's an issue with that story, right? There's another story that Umar al-Khattab actually heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting Quran and he got touched by it. And then he came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him for more guidance. So regardless, Umar al-Khattab becomes a Muslim. And that's the most important thing. Regardless of how Umar al-Khattab became a Muslim, the fact that he became Muslim, that's the most important event. Because what happens when Umar al-Khattab becomes a Muslim, you know what? Everything changes. Everything changes. Hamza and Umar, now people of Quraysh, are really like they can't be in a worse situation. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, ما زلنا أذلة حتى أسلم عمر الخطاب. We were humiliated, we were weak until Umar al-Khattab became Muslim. And he said, we could not openly pray near the masjid until Umar al-Khattab became Muslim. We couldn't pray openly until Umar al-Khattab became Muslim. That shows you the power of Umar al-Khattab. And that shows you as well that Islam is not something like, there's no magic about Islam. There's no magic about Islam. The human dynamics work wherever you are. Human dynamics work. You know, people who are strong personalities, influential people, people who create opinions and shape opinions, are so, whether in Islam or outside of Islam. And people who have talents before Islam, they can still have them in Islam if they are halal, if they are used in halal way. Human dynamics are the same. You cannot expect the world or the rules of this universe to change for you just because you're Muslim. Like, I'm going to be weak, but I'm going to be victorious. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, prepare for them whatever you have, whatever type of strength you have. Why? Because you're in this world. You're not living in paradise. You're living in a physical world and you have to abide by the rules of this universe. As simple as that. If you have power, any type of power, you're talking about knowledge power, scientific power, you talk about financial power, you talk about economic power, you talk about military power, you talk about population power, you talk about all different types of, they're all influential, they're all consequential, whether you're a Muslim or not. This world applies the same to all. So when you win an influential person, he's going to be a great aid to your religion. That's it. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ says in a beautiful hadith, he says, "النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ." النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ. People are like metals. People have a basic substance they're made of. People are like, just like metals. Some of them are precious, some of them are cheap. Some of them are strong and beneficial, some of them are weak and insignificant. النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ. خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقِهُ. The Prophet ﷺ says, people are just like metals. What is your substance? The best among them in Jahiliyyah will be the best among them in Islam, if they gain understanding of religion. So that shows that human dynamics apply. Human dynamics apply. Okay? So if someone is a good leader, a very influential person, and they were not Muslim, they became Muslim, they're going to have an impact. They're going to have an impact and more influence than just an average person who just minds his own business when he becomes a Muslim. Both of them are precious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who's going to have more influence? Obviously the person who's more influential. As simple as that. So Umar ibn al-Khattab being that influential, this was such a great aid, and we can see the shift in the balance of power, that the weaker Muslims now were able to pray openly and publicly near al-Kaaba after Umar became Muslim. Just by one person, just like this. And that's why this explains why the Prophet ﷺ, part of his da'wah as well, he heavily focused on the main leaders in Mecca. Why? Because he says, if I win one of them, they have hundreds of followers. So if I impact one, this impact will ripple out into hundreds of people. That's how it works. And the Prophet ﷺ recognized this. This is why when the Prophet ﷺ went to At-Ta'if, which we, inshallah we'll come to this, when he went to At-Ta'if, he didn't go to random people in At-Ta'if telling them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where did he go to? He went to the leaders of At-Ta'if and speak with them. So human dynamics function across the board, whether you're Muslim or not. You can't just ignore them because, oh, Allah is with me, I'm going to go against, you know, all common sense. You can't. This is not how the world works. So Umar al-Khattab becomes Muslim. Now there's a beautiful story about Umar al-Khattab becoming Muslim. And this shows the character of Umar ibn al-Khattab. When Umar al-Khattab became Muslim, so I'm going to read it in Arabic and translate it as I'm reading. لما أسلم عمر قال أي قريش أنقلوا للحديث. When Umar al-Khattab became Muslim, he said, which person in Quraysh is considered to be BBC or CNN? That this person, if he hears news, everyone, like in 5 minutes, everyone in Mecca will get that news. Who's that person? Who's that person? فقيل له جميل ابن معمر الجمحي. They said to him, a man called جميل ابن معمر الجمحي. This was like Monte Carlo. This was like CNN for everyone. The radio station of Mecca. You tell him something, just give him 5 minutes. Everyone else in Mecca knows about this. So, فَغَدَى عَلَيْهِ. So Umar al-Khattab goes to him. He searches for him. يَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عُمَرُ الْخَطَّابِ. Now, Abdullah, the son of Umar al-Khattab, is narrating the story. He was a young boy at the time. قَالْ وَغَدَوْتُ أَتْبَعُ أَثَرَهُ وَأَنظُرُ مَا يَفْعَلْ وَأَنَا غُلَامٌ أَعْقِلُ كُلَّ مَا رَأَيْتُ. So Abdullah is saying, and I followed my father. I want to see what he's going to do. And I was a young boy, and I could understand and comprehend what was going on around me. حتى جاءه, until he came to جميل ابن معمر الجمحي CNN. فقال له, he said to him, أعلمت يا جميل أني أسلمت ودخلت في دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, يا جميل, do you know that I have become a Muslim and I've entered the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فوالله ما راجعه حتى قام يجر رداءه. Jameel, he didn't say nothing. He just collected his thawb together and he left. He's going to do his business, right? That's what he does. So he sort of collected his cloak together and he left. He didn't say anything. واتبعه عمر. عمر follows him. He knows what's going to happen now. واتبعته أنا عبد الله. The son of عمر narrating the story says, I followed them. حتى إذا قام على باب المسجد صرخ بأعلى صوته. When he came to the masjid where almost everyone, that's the hub of Mecca, everyone is there. This is Jameel. He came and he screamed to the top of his lungs. And he said, يا معشر قريش, O people of Quraysh, ألا إن ابن الخطاب قد صبا. The son of Al-Khattab, Umar Al-Khattab, has apostated. He's become a sabi. He left the religion. Umar Al-Khattab is behind him. He said, كذب ولكنني قد أسلمت. He's a liar, but I have become a Muslim. وشهدت أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. And I testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وثاروا إليه. So they all stood up to him. فما برح يقاتلهم ويقاتلونه حتى قامت الشمس على رؤوسهم. They were fighting him and he was fighting back. And talking about Umar, although they were a group of people, but he was still fighting back, strong person. Until it became midday, like probably maybe about an hour or so, they're physically fighting and they could not overcome Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar al-Khattab became tired, so he sat down. He sat down, he couldn't fight anymore, he lost his breath. فقعد وقاموا على رأسه. So they were on top of him, obviously punching him. وهو يقول, he says to them, افعلوا ما بدا لكم, you do whatever you want to do. فبين okay, افعلوا ما بدا لكم فأحلفوا بالله. He says, you do whatever you do, I swear by Allah, لو قد كنا ثلاثمائة رجل لقد تركناها لكم أو تركتموها لنا. If we were 300 people, it would be either you or us in Mecca. Either we remain and survive and live in Mecca, or you guys, one of us is going to stay, the others are going to leave. If we only 300. So he's basically threatening them. He says, you guys do whatever you want to do, we're not giving in. فبينهم على ذلك إذ أقبل شيخ من قريش عليه حلة حبرة. At that moment, one of the leaders, political leaders, main people, the elite of Quraysh, is passing by. So he has a beautiful garment and he has a nice cloak around him. And he looks at them and he says, فَقَالَ مَا شَأْنُكُمْ. He says, what's going on, guys? فَقَالُوا صَبَأَ عُمَرْ. They said, Umar apostated. So he says, فَمَهْ. So what? رَجُلٌ اخْتَارَ لِنَفْسِهِ فَمَاذَا تُرِيدُونَ. You know, someone made a choice for himself. What do you want from him? Leave him alone. And this is one of the leaders of Quraysh, who's against Islam as well, who's against Islam. And actually, do you know who this person is? We'll reveal his name towards the end of the story. He's the one that when Khabbab ibn al-Arat became Muslim, and Khabbab ibn al-Arat had done work for this man. Khabbab ibn al-Arat went to him and he said, give me my money, like I did some work for you. He said, I'm not going to give it to you until you disbelieve in Muhammad. You remember that story? It's this guy. Yet he admires Umar ibn al-Khattab. So when he saw them fighting Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, so what? Like, leave him, man. Like, leave the man alone. He made a choice for himself. أَتَرَوْنَ بَنِي عَدِيٍ يُسْلِمُونَ لَكُمْ صَاحِبَكُمْ هَذَا. Do you think his clan, Banu Adi, his family, if you kill him, they're going to leave you alone? They will seek revenge. And you know what happens? There will be some sort of civil war and retaliation in Mecca. خلوا عن الرجل, leave the man alone. يقول ابن عمر, now Abdullah ibn Umar is narrating, he says, فوالله لا كأنما كانوا ثوبا كشط عنه. They were just like a piece of cloth on top of him that was taken off. They left him. فقلت لأبي بعد أن هاجر إلى المدينة. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, so I asked my father later on after migrating to Medina, يا أبتي من الرجل الذي زجر القوم عنك بمكة يوم أسلمت وهم يقاتلونك. Who's the man who came and told the people of Quraysh, leave him alone when they were fighting you? قال ذاك بني العاص بن وائل السهمي. He said, oh my son, this is Al-As ibn Wa'il al-Sahmi. Al-As ibn Wa'il al-Sahmi. That's the man, the leader from Mecca, who protected Umar al-Khattab from that time. So Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, فَعَجِبْتُ مِنْ عِزِّهِ. Abdullah ibn Umar is saying, I was really, I admired the courage of my dad. How did he just go to Quraysh, publicly announce his Islam when everyone was trying to hide it? And this shows that the power of Islam, the power of Islam is in how it connects to the human heart. And this is a power sometimes we tend to overlook. We tend to overlook. Look at Islam, how Islam, there are so many times when Islam was unable, or the Muslims were unable to defend themselves in military terms. And what happened? Islam won in the most unexpected way. The most unexpected way. Like Umar ibn al-Khattab. No one expected, and we mentioned previously that one of the Muslims, Abdullah ibn Rabi'ah, he said to his wife that the donkey of ibn al-Khattab would become Muslim, but not Umar. It's like an impossibility that Umar al-Khattab becomes a Muslim. Yet Umar al-Khattab becomes a Muslim. So it's the ability of Islam to penetrate the hearts. Why? Because Islam resonates with human nature, with fitrah. Islam, in reality, is everything, is the thing that every human being is searching for. Every human being is searching for Islam, but they lose their way. They lose their way. That's what humans are in search of. It's what Islam really has to offer. But sometimes, there are people who reject due to some desires. Sometimes there are people who just cannot see it because they have misconceptions. They cannot go past them. Sometimes people are misinformed about Islam, and so on and so forth. So this Islam has this power. One of the most beautiful examples in history of how Islam, when Muslims were unable to defend themselves, how the nature of Islam won in the most unexpected way. The Mughals. The Mughals invaded Asia. They took over India, what we know today as Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Turkmenistan, and Iraq. And then Syria, Damascus, and every city they invade, they destroy it, completely destroy it, completely. The day they entered Baghdad, the capital of Iraq, the day they entered Baghdad, they killed in one day, the narration goes, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people in one day. They didn't have machine guns at the time. You had to kill each one individually. To the point that they say the Euphrates, the river, turned red. And they destroyed a lot of the manuscripts. This is why some of the books that our scholars wrote are missing, because they were in that library of Baghdad and they were destroyed. They were thrown into the river. They were destroyed. And the Mughals were actually planning to march into Europe. Do you know what happened? What changed all of that? They became Muslim. The unstoppable army, what really stopped them? At some stages, Muslims fought back, but they had a comeback on the Muslims. What really changed the whole thing? They embraced Islam. They became Muslim. They came to destroy Islam. They became Muslim themselves. And that's the power of Islam that we underestimate and we don't see. So Umar ibn Khattab himself, who used to be one of the most aggressive against the Muslims, one of the staunchest enemies of Islam at that time, he becomes a Muslim and he openly embraces it and shows everyone that he has embraced that. This actually has caused some change in Mecca as well. One of the changes that happened, that the Prophet ﷺ could sit with his companions openly, publicly, and teach them about Islam. As Abdullah Mas'ud, he said, we were able now to pray in public. Previously, we couldn't. But now when Umar al-Khattab became Muslim, we were protected. We were protected. Now the Prophet ﷺ was able to sit with some of his companions and teach them. So one day, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with some of his companions and he was reciting to them Surah Al-Najm. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Very beautiful words, profound. As an Arabic language, is so powerful, is so breathtaking when you read these words. Really, there's so much beauty in these words. So the Prophet ﷺ is reading in Surah An-Najm. And his companions were there, and some people started to join, non-Muslims, started to join. And some people, some of the main people of Quraysh, they decided to come and listen. And they sat down and they were listening. And the Prophet ﷺ was reciting Surah An-Najm. Then the Prophet recites the whole surah. Then he reaches the end of it. And there's so much about the hereafter and about the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes it by saying, أَزِفَةِ الْآزِفَةِ, the hour has come near. لَيْسَ لَهَا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ كَاشِفَةِ, when it comes, there's no one is going to push it back. No one can put an end to it or stop. No one can stop it. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ, do you feel that these words of the Quran, they don't make sense? You find yourself puzzled because of these words, in rejection as well. وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ, and you're making fun, you're laughing on these words rather than crying and weeping over the reality of your lives. وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ, you're completely indifferent and completely blinded to this truth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the surah, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُوا, prostrate before your Lord and worship Him. The Prophet ﷺ makes sajda. The Muslims make sajda, and guess who? Everyone else makes sajda. Even the kuffar. Everyone. Involuntarily. They don't even know how they made it. They don't even know how they made the sajda. And the jinn prostrated. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. The story is in Sahih Bukhari. Prophet ﷺ prostrated, the Muslims prostrated, the non-Muslims who were listening found themselves making sajda. They didn't know how. Found themselves. The jinn made sajda. And there was only one old man who was sitting there, non-Muslim. He felt he felt drawn to make a sajda, but physically it was too much for him. So what he did, he gets some sand in his hand and he puts it on his forehead just like this, and he says, "This is enough for me." Very weird, strange incident happened. And that shows you the power of the Quran. It shows you the power of the Quran. Now, people of Quraysh seeing all of this, these things happening, they really don't want to give in. They think that's just too many things happening in favor of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They realize if we don't do something, things might get out of our hands. So they actually gather a huge number of youth and they decide to simply kill Umar ibn al-Khattab. They said, we can't afford this. We're going to kill Umar ibn al-Khattab. So they really gather a huge, a big group of young men from Mecca, and they start marching towards the house of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab hears about this. So what does he do? The only defense he has, these are not people gonna like fight him, fist fight. No, they have swords, they have weapons, they're gonna kill him. The only way Umar al-Khattab knows is to protect himself by going into his house. Because still at that time, the Arabs would not violate the sanctity of a house. They would not break into his house. They would wait for him outside probably. But break into his house? No. So he goes into his house. So who hears about this? Mut'im ibn Adi. Mut'im ibn Adi is one of the leaders, political leaders of Mecca, one of the richest people in Mecca, non-Muslim, respected, highly respected in Mecca. Okay? His name is going to come up with a very important incident. And Mut'im ibn Adi, remember his name, Mut'im ibn Adi. When he hears about this, he goes to the house of Umar al-Khattab and he knocks on the door and he says, what's going on? He says, I can't leave my house. These people want to kill me. He says, why do they want to kill you? He says, because I became Muslim. I believed in Muhammad. He said, لا سبيل إليك أمنت. They can't get to you. You're under my protection. And this is something else among the Arabs. If one of the leaders says you're under my protection, no one can touch you. No one can touch you. Because if anyone violates this, like this gift or this protection that you have given, there will be a war in Mecca. And it could last for years. And many people could die. So no one would jeopardize this. No one would go against it. Until today, you actually have it. Until today, you have it. They call it, they have many names for it today. Himaya. They call it Dakhala. They call it Wajh, face. You're in my face. It means you're under my protection. If this man says so, then no one can violate this. So he says, you're under my protection. لا سبيل إليك. Then, actually it's, you know who that is? مطعم بن علي helps عمر الخطاب in another situation. It's the same man, العاص بن وائل, the same guy. Who just a couple of days ago, he said, leave him alone. العاص بن وائل. العاص بن وائل السهمي. He himself. And shows you he admired عمر الخطاب so much. So he goes out to Mecca and he says, listen, Umar ibn Khattab is under my protection, no one touch him. Now that depleted everything, they couldn't do anything now. They could not do anything. So they left him and they just aborted the whole idea, they forgot about the whole idea, let's leave it alone. So they decided to do something else this time and to exert more pressure on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's going to be different because they're going to use, it's a new tactic. It's a new tactic that they will use against the Prophet. So they tried force, physical, verbal abuse. They tried negotiation. They tried slandering the Prophet, tarnishing his reputation, creating lies, everything. Still the Prophet is consistent and persistent and he's clear about his message. No compromises, okay? He's not changing his direction, he's not changing his priorities, he's being clear about everything else. So they thought of a new strategy, probably to exert more pressure on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe this will actually make him, you know, look at it differently. Maybe he would accept some of our offers. So what is this new tactic? This is what we're gonna know next week, inshallah. Okay, next week the halaqah is on. Yes, it's on, inshallah. So next week, inshallah, we'll find out what's the new tactic and how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with that. We have time for some questions. Do we have any questions there? Who? Al-Walid al-Mughira? Why do you want Al-Walid al-Mughira? Okay. He will be mentioned, don't worry. Why specifically Al-Walid al-Mughira? Okay, he was one of the big shots. That's right. Well, he will come. Probably shortly. Like, surely he will come. Because he has another deal to offer the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How are we going to deal with that? Yes. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he's the father of Khalid ibn al-Walid. Okay? Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he's the father of Khalid ibn al-Walid. Right? Questions? Yeah. This is before Islam Mi'raj. Very good question. How did the Muslims pray? Exactly the same prayer. But what was prescribed during the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj was the 5 daily prayers. But the Prophet ﷺ was taught how to pray right from the beginning. So he would pray. The same prayers that prayer that we know now. Okay, so it wasn't different. But at the beginning, the Muslims were supposed to pray 2 prayers. One in the morning, one in the evening. That was at the beginning. And then Qiyam al-Layl was made obligatory, as in Surah al-Muzzammil. Praying at night was made obligatory. So they had to pray Qiyam al-Layl. And then after Isra wal-Mi'raj, it was made the 5 daily prayers. These are the obligations. Anything else is extra. Yeah, good question. Yes. This is the other story that I referred to but didn't mention because I didn't want to create much detail. It's a historical story that he heard the Prophet reciting Surah Qaf and it affected him and he came to the Prophet and approached him. But still, like, it's not as strong as we would like it to be. But it could be stronger than the one I mentioned. But I didn't want to mention more than one story. So I left it at that because since we have conflicting stories, the most, and none of them is really like verified from a science of hadith perspective. So what we do here is just we focus on the outcome that Umar al-Khattab became Muslim regardless of how. Yeah. Questions? questions. Okay, so don't forget, inshallah, the first Friday of every month, we'll have a potluck, inshallah, after the halaqah. A potluck after the halaqah. So it's a good opportunity, inshallah, the first Friday of every month. So inshallah, November will be the first one, inshallah. We'll start. Any more questions? No questions? Khalas, if there's no questions, inshallah, we will then meet next week. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.